Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and God, people are just self-absorbed assholes, aren't they? And with me, I have...
I see white people everywhere, and they so badly want to be oppressed for some reason. Because they're stupid.
And...
Why do y'all think Karen's a slur? It's fucking not. Karen is a fucking name. A name used for dumb white women who want to be a bitch to, I don't know, some of the workers.
You know, they always want to speak to the manager because they're so friggin' special, apparently. No, you're not. You made it to 45 and you spend all your time, you know, fucking hurling back wine bottles. Because obviously your life is going so perfectly.
As once somebody who voiced Spider Pig once said, "If you can't be, if one word is better than the other, you can't say the better than the N word. If you can't say the N word, we can say Karen. It's obviously the other one's the bad word that you can't say."
It's like these people just want to be persecuted for arbitrary reason so they can feel like a victim.
I mean, if they want to be persecuted, we could always grant their wish. I have plenty of ideas for how that could work. But they should count their stars that I'm not a politician. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
at least you make one as dumb as, I don't know. I don't know. Let's be open to state this week.
Why is Georgia doing a whole My Beard of Florida? Like, there are no winners with this. God, I think freaking white people.
Yeah, because I know they reopened the beaches in Jacksonville, and I think Florida in general has like 10 more days until it reaches the deadline for reopening and lifting the stay-at-home order. But whatever, fucking Ron DeSantis is stupid, but we all knew that. Anyway, episode 172. So, how's everyone been keeping busy lately?
Well, since I'm the one of us who lives in the most, quote-unquote, normal states of our states, somehow, despite North Carolina not being the best when it comes to that dogger and education, somehow we're actually one of the better ones in regards to this whole thing. So that's neat. And somehow I'm not going broke because the state's taking care of me after screwing me a couple years ago with taxes, but whatever. I guess we're now even. But aside from that, not much. All the days sort of blend together. It's, as Al Bundy once said, one long month. Helluary.
And yeah.
It doesn't feel like it because, God, it's just... Okay, I understand my place in life. I am very insignificant in the grand scheme of things. But all this stupidity is still frustrating nonetheless. Like, freaking white people. I know I'm harping on white people. I say this as a mostly white person, as far as you all know. Oh my God, you all are fucking stupid. Like, seriously, this is not hard to follow. Screw your American exceptionalism bullshit. Learn to listen to smart people and learn the definition of the word no. Good Lord, man. And I'm just waiting for my socialism check to come in the mail because, homeboy needs to get some new equipment.
Yeah, I actually got that earlier in the week, so...
Yeah, I tried to get a direct deposit, but it didn't work out. I wasted the whole morning typing all that in for nothing. Thanks a lot, IRS.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, let's see. The kind of terms that I get no stimulus check because, technically I'm depending on somebody else's taxes, so... Yeah, I'm broke.
The system has failed.
It's like giving you guys a test, but you can't give none to, I don't know, college kids or even adults still who repeat millennials. I know people older. We still live with our parents because, well, we got no choice. We're broke. Which, yeah, that still kind of bums me out. Because I thought I was getting one. I went to that damn damn IRS site so many times. Like, when's it coming? When's it coming? When's it coming? It was like, yeah, not available, not available. You ain't getting the motherfucker. You might as well just say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, as for me, I have good news and bad news. Good news, I actually beat Persona 5 Royal this past week. 144 hours it took me. It's like 6 days and I've been playing it nonstop since I first got it. I think I have a problem. And speaking of problems, bad news. I had a very annoying severe pain in my right ear for the entire past week. Literally so bad I could barely sleep at all. Literally, the only times when I could get any sleep at all was just at random points throughout the day where I could nap, because that's when the pain decided it wanted to leave me alone. Like, okay, you get a 2-hour grace period at like 3 p.m. every afternoon, but if you actually want to sleep for like, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours, fuck you. Thankfully, it subsided for now. You better not sneak up on me, you motherfucker.
Oh. That sounds painful.
Very.
Yeah, sounds like me with the pain in my side. It sounds like me with the pain in my side, although watching Golden Girls reruns has been thinking it might be a gallbladder issue. I'll deal with that later.
Yeah, it sounds like me with the right side, the left side of my mouth. I don't, it occurs, but it disappears. I don't. Something on that shit.
We are all very susceptible to pain, which is why we know better to stay inside.
Even one of us have to go up because they got a job.
Yeah, just swear to God, if that pain comes back, I'm going to fucking go Van Gogh on myself. Anyway, that's about it on my end. So, time to move on to our usual business, starting, of course, with a new song discussion for the past week. Of course, as always, there'll be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and check out some of these tunes on your own. I mean, you're not doing anything else anyway. So, first track here. We got a Lucy single here from the XXX's Jamie XX. It's a track called I Don't Know, and, you know, I normally run kind of like on anything from the XX camp, but this is a pretty decent jam. It's got this solid, upbeat tempo, heavily driven by a lot of percussive elements in this very, this kind of fast groove. A lot of stuttering, chopped vocal samples with something of a melody over top, these serene synth elements. Not much else to add other than, honestly, it's more sonically interesting than most of what I've heard out of the relative sphere of the XX.
Yeah, I mean, the first, but I heard the first, I'm like, the title, I don't know what to make of it at first. And then I'm gonna say, yeah, I took some German bass shit in there, and, you know, the tip getting faster with some weird shit added in there. But yeah, I heard that one Jamie XX solo album, like, a few years back, and it was decent. This one is, I mean, I think it's something different than that. I mean, this is just more, you know, experimental electronic type of shit. But yeah, this one's kind of decent.
Time to move on to our next track here. So we're about a couple weeks out from the newest album from thrash metalers Havoc, V, coming out May 1st. And we have the next single from the album, appropriately titled Fear Campaign, fitting squarely into the Havoc lyrical warehouse of, you know, criticizing the mainstream media for instilling fear in the populace and, you know, shit like that. And yep, this is definitely some pretty solid thrash. Plenty of driving D-beats and some gnarly riffs that feel straight up old school Metallica throughout a lot of it. Really shreddy and noodly guitars just to flex on everything. The vocals wail and gnash about, as he said, the state of media instigating fear in the populace for the sake of control. Because, you know, what else are thrash bands going to sing about? And, of course, that really excellent bridge that, like, brings things down to this really stomping, aggro, half-tempo groove. It's just, it's thrashy, it's heavy, it's a pretty killer shit. Yeah, that's it.
Yep, definitely some very solid E-flat tune thrash metal with good double bass grooves, fine guitar licks. Sounds like Kill 'Em All era Metallica with some of those riffs. And it's good, and I don't have much more to say about it. It's one of those weeks.
Pretty much, yeah. Anyway, speaking of things where I don't have much to say, here's hoping that the virus doesn't kill us so that way we don't have to die lit.
Okay, so Playboy Cardi. Remember, everybody loves to talk about, oh, he's so good, y'all some other haters, y'all don't like his music, you don't like his music. Yeah, he has a new joint out, which is called At Me, or At Me, At Me, or At Me, which is spelled with At Me, like with an H, like me. And, well, I'm going to say it, this is very meh. Like, I don't know why the beat sounds like usually you got it from I don't know, like some, it's not some like some Nintendo Wii home eShop type of shit. Like when you start the Wii, it sounds something like this. It's like, okay, I mean, it sounds very twinkly, very twinkly, that type of shit. And Cardi, okay, but Cardi's lyrics, I kind of don't give a shit. I know people want to say, oh, man, any lyrics about the vibe, but yeah, but I don't give a shit what he says. So why should I care?
Yeah, this is just kind of a nothing song. Although I will point out one lyric, just for certain reasons. I don't give a fuck, you can tell. Yeah. Too easy. Well, too easy.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, this anyway, something that's more, you know, got something more to it.
Yeah, so on to the next song here. So we're kind of a bit late on this. We could have done this last week, but I apparently missed it because I'm stupid. So we have the newest entry, number 3 of the Gorillaz Song Machine project. This one being a track called Aries, which features guest contributions from Peter Hook and Georgia. I don't exactly know who either of those two are, but as for the song, you listen to it, that synthetic drum beat, those chorus-laden, really 80s guitars. Yeah, this is as new wave as you can get in the context of Gorillaz. It feels like the credits of a John Hughes movie, and yeah, just overall, the composition of it is very, like, that 80s nostalgia song that you could just cruise down the street and vibe out to, reminiscing on old memories, and it's pretty damn good overall, and so far, 3 tracks in, if the quality of Song Machine keeps up, this could very well represent the most consistent, like, high-quality set of new material we've gotten from Gorillaz post-reunion. This just, I was bopping to this quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Nice and chill.
Yeah, it's very, very chill. And also, Tootie reminds you to, well, stay home and wash your hands.
Yes, listen to Tootie. He is probably the smartest of most of the Gorillaz anyway. I mean, Noodle's probably a bit smarter, but, you know, second place ain't bad. Anyway, time to move on to the next track here. So, after a handful of Lucy singles here and there from good old Joji, we finally have an actual proper album announcement. His newest project will be called Nectar. It'll be dropping July 10th, hopefully, barring any delays because of the thing. And we have the single to go along with the announcement, Gimme Love. And this one's got a pretty decent upbeat pulse to it. It's got this really, like, thumping, driving energy to the beat. Of course, a lot of the, you know, vocals and melodies and stuff are that usual, like, very soft-spoken style. Eventually, it does slow down into this really soaring, like, kind of synth keyboard piece with, of course, his soft, delicate vocal singing over top. Also, the music video gives you the image of Joji flipping everyone off while wearing an astronaut costume. And who doesn't love that?
Joji in space. But yeah, I got to say about this joint. It's not a good Joji joint. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And for some reason, the music video reminded me of that one episode of Malcolm in the Middle that has, I think it was like second season. I think it was early on, but it has Malcolm thinking about what he wants to do in life. And he's thinking about being a bus driver, or being a businessman, or for some reason, a housewife. Oh. Yeah, weird.
I think that might have been second. You know, I've been meaning to rewatch Malcolm in the Middle for a while now. I think it's actually all on Netflix, which is weird considering they only ever released the first season on DVD because, you know, music licensing costs, but whatever. I don't make the rules of media licensing.
Yeah, it's weird. But yeah, good video. Good video, good song. Nice chill. Very good.
Anyway, time to move on to this next track here, and I am in a bit of a conundrum here, because I could have ignored it, because I'm not particularly fond of the band, and when I listen to the song, I'm not fond of it either. But there's a bit of context that motivated me to want to listen to it. So I don't know if any of you music Twitter nerds have been paying a lot of attention, but in case you need to be caught up, ever since the coronavirus pandemic started reaching serious critical mass, Chris Brown, not the violent domestic abusing piece of shit, but the racist piece of shit that fronts No Hit Wonders Trap, has been having kind of a, to use the proper slang term, a normal one on Twitter.com. Starting off using the virus as an excuse to be, you know, high-key racist, you know, because if there's anybody who understands what's really going on with the virus, it's the front man of one of the most mediocre, forgettable butt rock bands of all time. And, it's, ever since then, his Twitter rants have just been spiraling out into the weirdest places. Like, it's like a game of telephone to the point where you almost forget what the original starting point that set him off was. Like, he's been beefing with so many bands, so many acts, you know, no less than, like, beefing with people like fucking various djent bands, Riley Gale of Power Trip, where they've all been just been schooling him like, oh, we're so much popular than you, fucking check out our Pandora streams. I'm like, Pandora? That's music streaming for fucking boomers. Get with Spotify, motherfucker. Fucking just showing concert photos of like these bands playing sold out shows compared to Trapped barely getting like 100, 150 at the fucking state carnival. Fucking Chris Brown tried to threaten motherfucking Ice-T in a fight, and Ice-T was just like, okay, you want to square up? Let's meet up at some point, dude. And if you're wondering how the Ice-T part got up there, at a certain point he decided he was going to start beef with Sumerian Records and various bands affiliated with that label. And he's like, oh, fucking Body Count, you know, they're one of the shittiest Sumerian bands, even though they only ever released one album on Sumerian. They're not even there anymore. They're currently on Century Media. So, anyway, with all that context, we have a new Asking Alexandria song here. And, sure, I could say that the song, titled Down to Hell, is terrible. I mean, you didn't need me to tell you that. You could probably figure it out because it's Asking Alexandria in the year of our Lord 2020. It just sounds like really mediocre 2000s radio hard rock, like fucking Five Finger Death Punch meets Godsmack meets, you know, funnily enough, probably like a band like Trapped, or I guess more like 3 Days Grace. A band that has more hits than Trapped. I just need to point that out for the record. But, important to consider, Asking Alexandria is on Sumerian Records. So, if we were to promote and listen to this song, even if it was basically like swallowing medicine because the song sucks, we know for a fact it would piss off the frontman of Trapped. And, kind of gives me a warm feeling inside, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is completely out of spite. And as much as I don't like Asking Alexandria one bit, I'm willing to sit through this auditory boredom if it'll piss off Mr. Brown that much more, much like how he's decided to go full crazy by getting into a beef with a man by the name of Danny Diablo, or Lord Ezek, who a member of the New York hardcore scene, who was once arrested for attempted murder, by the way.
Yeah, right. I almost forgot about that. Like, Jesus, this guy really does think he can take on anyone.
The song, it's the most generic boilerplate radio rock track you'll ever hear. Still better than Trapped by a Good Mile, and while I'm not a fan of Danny Warsnop or whoever's running Asking Alexandria this week, personally, at least they're better than Chris Taylor Brown, who has gone into a beef with some individual who I cannot identify, by saying this, quote, and this is real, by the way, go to Metal Sucks, you'll see it, I bet you have rich parents. I will dig it up and all up and expose your ass. Rich Jew trying to act tough. Fuck you, I have a fucking militia behind me.
What?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, along with this fantastic quote, some ethnicities should not perform trap music and have guns and drugs in their videos. All from Chris Taylor Brown, who, yes, is going down the road of hating on Jews for their Jew-ness or something. Oh. I don't understand anti-Semitism. It's stupid. It's morally repugnant and... Chris Taylor Brown, continue to have a meltdown. You are producing fantastic material for all of us to mock and shame you with.
You just know this is going to end with an InfoWars appearance.
So if your name is Chris Brown and you're not this guy or the other asshole, yeah, I feel bad for you.
Yeah, I just say pay for a name change at this point. Yeah. That name is cursed. Yeah.
You name yourself, Chris Blue?
Chris White. That seems more dignified.
Sure, I guess. But, yeah, in case you're wondering, Trap friggin' sucks, and I will forever wait for that inevitable one-hit Wonderland episode. It's gonna happen at some point. It has to. It has to, Todd!
Oh, that is going to be fun. But anyway, with all that riffing out of the way, time to move on to the next song here, which is every bit as boring, but unfortunately does not have that much interesting context to it. So yeah, we got a Lucy track from A Day to Remember here. It's called Mind Reader, and oh boy, it opens with hand claps. That's a sign of a good song, right? When it opens with hand claps? And yeah, it's got a lame as hell generic set of riffs, generic chorus. Pretty much everything about this track reminds me of why I don't engage with this scene much these days. It's just, y'all are still frozen in the times. You couldn't even move on to, like, I don't know. You couldn't even have one breakdown in there. Come on. I thought you were good at that.
It's a song. It's got verses and a chorus, and it's just there. I guess it's a song that exists. Not very good.
Yeah, it's not very good either. So now let's move on to a set of songs that are at least interesting to discuss, can give us more to work with. And these are all the most recent entries of the Adult Swim Singles program. First of all, we got a new track here, courtesy of Greg Fox. If you aren't familiar with that name, he is a drummer and percussionist who is perhaps best known with his tenure of 10 years playing drums for the avant-garde black metal act Liturgy. He played on their first three albums, but I believe left the band in 2019, so he didn't play on their most recent one, Hack. In addition to being a collaborator of various other artists, including most notably fellow Adult Swim single alumnus Colin Stetson. No word on if Greg Fox might be getting in on that Uzumaki soundtrack. But anyway, Greg here has contributed a track called Sotivinyena. I'm not sure what language that is. Of course, my instinct is to pronounce the Enyas in friggin' Spanish, you know. But anyway, so we have this pretty, well, not simple, but relatively straightforward, like, drum beat. Nice and steady with, you know, the occasional ghost note and tom fill in there. There's a lot of these really strange drifting synths, and... the song has a lot of these, like, sound effects, like, just kind of poking in and out. Like, a lot of them sound like they're taken from, like, action movies or violent video games. Hell, I think they might have sampled a lot of shit from Mortal Kombat. I definitely hear a lot of what sounds like the Scorpion spear throw popping up here and there. And there's, like, this just generally kind of trippy, spacey vibe to it. And also, like, the sounds of, like, swords and steel clashing with each other. It is a very bizarre song. I kind of groove with it, but, like... yeah, this is probably an acquired taste.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's about as acquired as, like, eating spicy chocolate. It's like, it's sweet, and then you wonder, oh shit, what is that? And I was quite perplexed listening to this stuff, like, okay, like, I haven't heard of this dude, but, alright. See something I would play every now and then.
Yeah, so time to move on to the next track, which is a jam that contains quite a bit of hip-hop star power to it. So I will leave it to Mark to carry the duties for us.
I guess some names that most people, especially those in those recognize and seen hip hop recognize. So we got Ari the Rugged Man, a rapper that I have heard of, maybe through some friends of mine, which not a lot of them. And of course you got two other rappers. One known from the episode clip, the Wu-Tang Clan, Master Killer and Ghostface Killer. Yes, two killers. And we got Cool G Rap on the mic as well with the single Dragon Fire, which is off R.A.'s, I think, recent album, All My Heroes Are Dead, which I'm guessing is out now? Because it was released about last week.
Yeah.
That's weak, but the good 90s sound of hip hop, the hip hop, where you starting out with Gobi and Master Killer doing the thing, and Art Rocket Man, he's doing his thing too, which he had this one line, I sleep weapon to an Iranian death, so a Russian Iranian bread, I seven a head to the negative, now you live, I push you to bed, I'm a husband with a sedative, damn. And the filthy, dirty degenerate juice crew, like, okay, you got some dope lyrics here. All four rappers do their shit well, but yeah, this is a good, 90s nostalgia hip hop banger. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, this track is, I mean, it says in the title, it's pretty much some straight dragon ass fire. And, now for the last of the Adult Swim singles here, a production courtesy of artist named DJ Haram. It's called Great Divide, and okay, so we're starting with accordion, and a lot of blown-out bass distortion, and then some woodwinds settle into this weird clacking percussion bit before the bass, blowout comes back again. There's a weird loud scream at one point. It's this very weird vibe. I mean, I kind of dig it, but, like, at the same time, it's kind of a very weird trip.
I also mentioned this, he is part of the record label, Hyperdub, which, of course, some connection there, and, yeah, this beat sounds weird as fuck. It sounds like, it sounds like something I would hear out of Curse of County Dog for some reason. It's like, I hear some monster be coming and then Curse get scared and Houston do some stupid shit and I be, it reminds me of that shit.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, time to move on to our next track here. So, yeah, it's another one. It's another single courtesy of Chromatics. We're still wondering what's going on with Dear Tommy. Due out, who the fuck even knows anymore. To be fair, with this single, they did post a revised new track list for the album, but we still don't have anything close to a friggin' release date or anything. I don't know. I don't make the rules anymore. But yeah, we have this new single from them called Teacher, and it's, again, pretty typical Chromatics material. It's got this, steady four-on-the-floor kick drum beat, plenty of light, airy guitars floating in the background, along with all those synths and everything. Ruth Radlett singing in this very melancholic tone of voice, occasionally having this very sing-songy melody and, the chorus and everything like that. And yeah, it's a pretty vibey synth rock tune.
Yeah, I got nothing new to say, but it's what you expect from Chromatics at this point. But yeah, it's got a lot of shit that I can get around to at midnight. But yeah, pretty good shit. Like, I don't know when their time's gonna come out, but then again, in this climate, we don't know when anything's gonna come out. But yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, time to move on to our next track here. A collaboration between two rappers who have absolutely worked before in the past. We got a new track here courtesy of Bishop Nehru. His new album, Neruvia, My Disregarded Thoughts, coming out May 8th. And he's released a single called Meathead, which features contributions from his good friend, Mr. MF Doom. Apparently this is not, I'm guessing this is just a one-off as opposed to like... But still, this is technically Nehruvian Doom coming back, in a way.
And yes, I just said, I did them before, and I was disappointed by the album, because, it had one good track, and the rest just this old Doom, just him rapping on own Doom beats, which, okay, but yeah, this song definitely has some interest, and, it's actually pretty good. I love the beat on here, which I think Doom did produce, Doom did produce, at least as far as I know. But yeah, this Doom produced, like, yeah, it sounded like this very old, I want to say kind of jazzy beat to it. But yeah, I was feeling this track, especially with Doom coming in with I sip a hot tea, watching Archie like on Meathead, let the page rip, toying right what the beat said on the mic, red hot ghetto and street brain, all crooked DTs in the fence can eat. Yeah, I was really feeling this a lot. Like, yeah, like this is probably, yeah, like I feel him and Bishop as well. Like Bishop as well, But yeah, this is pretty good solving them. Like, I don't know, like, this is probably like the another Ruvian Doom track that I can fuck with. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Anyway, time for the last track here, and man, this is a name that I haven't heard in quite some time. Protest the Hero. So, it looks like the lovely Canadian prog metal fellows have actually put out or are working on a new album. It's called Palimpsest, and it's going to be coming out June 19th. Although, from what I understand, apparently the recording of this had to be delayed a couple years due to the ever-magnificent Rody Walker dealing with vocal problems during that time frame. But the album is scheduled to release over the summer, and we have the lead-off single from the project, The Canary, a reference to the plane flown by Amelia Earhart. So you can kind of get a sense of what the song in general is about. And yeah, as expected, the majority of it has this very characteristic, like, unusual rhythmic syncopation, accentuated by a lot of guitar noodling that picks up and swaps from, like, 16th note sweeps to 32nd notes. This really quick D-beat segment before getting back into more of that sweet, sweet noodling. A lot of the drums are, you know, very packed dense with fills, especially like that ride cymbal hitting this kind of triplet accentuation against the rest of the song. That chorus has a lot of really pretty melodies, especially as it, you know, sings about Amelia Earhart, because, again, someone has to. There's that nice bridge segment where everything fades a bit and that weird synth kind of punctuates, like, the guitars and everything, as well as that subdued bridge where the instruments are kind of lowered down in the mix for this very, like, dramatic piano to slot itself in, playing against the lyric, "Women must pay for everything when they crash," which is, you know, I'm not sure the full extent of what that lyric is supposed to mean, if it means anything outside of Amelia Earhart's, you know, unfortunate passing, but that something about that just, that's a mood right there. Yeah, it's a pretty good jam. I'm just happy that there's new Protest the Hero to look forward to.
Proggy pop-punk grooves with noodly triplet licks followed up with the vulture beat. It's quite a concept, isn't it? So, yeah, consider me curious and interested for more from this group. I'm down.
Yeah, so good stuff. Anyway, that finishes up the song discussion, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, just a couple of updates due to COVID Watch 2019, so yeah, stay tuned. And we are back. So, in the continuing coverage of everything going to shit because of the plague, as always, we have to deal with what the cancellations are that have been announced recently. So, the big ones this time around being Wacken Open Air 2020, as well as both Rock Am Ring and Rock Im Park. You know, these being due to the fact that these festivals take place in Germany, and the German government has put a ban on all large-scale events of this type through at least the end of August. So, yeah, so up until August 30th, so these festivals were forced to cancel. Who knows? They're still set for 2021, so, and at least, because, like, a lot of people are expecting that touring at all won't happen until at least 2021, and with, you know, all the governments that are at least trying to manage this as best they can. Yeah, who knows? Yeah, it's going to be a while before any of that shit happens.
Unfortunately. And should concerts still not be in the free and clear by the time June comes around, I better get my money back from Ticketmaster if I'm not going to see Between the Buried and Me.
or My Chemical Romance either. But, you know, Ticketmaster has are dildos, and they have to have fucking whack-ass policies and shit like that. Bastards. But, anyway, so that's it for cancellations that we're aware of. But at least there's one news article here that isn't technically a cancellation or an album delay. So at least we're mixing things up a little bit this week. And, of course, this guy was going to come up eventually. I had this feeling in the back of my head. This guy was just going to find a way to worm his way into the discussion. Y'all remember Billy McFarland?
Oh, yes, the guy with the punchable, with that punchable face, with that fucking teeth in his card.
Let's just do it and be legends, man. That guy?
I hear that quote 1,000 times. It never stops being fucking hilarious. Anyway, so you might remember from the fallout of all, that whole documentary that Mr. McFarland was sentenced to prison. You know, in a specifically a correctional facility in Elkton, Ohio. However, according to various news outlets, he apparently has requested an early release from prison due to the fact that said correctional facility is a hotspot for the COVID-19 the coronavirus. And that apparently Mr. McFarland, they argue, has pre-existing conditions like asthma, allergies, and heart issues. His sentence was meant to last until at least August 2023, and supposedly eligible for a home release as early as 2021. But, according to the letter that he wrote to the United States District Court judge, he says, and I quote, "The motion outlines the seriousness of the situation at FCI Elkton, the health risks that I'm exposed to by being here, and how I can contribute positively via home detention."
Home detention?
Yeah, and for what it's worth, other big celebrities like R. Kelly and YNW Millie have been denied release due to the same argument. And keep in mind, YNW Millie actually has COVID-19. But sorry, R. Kelly, you're still stuck in jail, you douchebag. I mean, hell, apparently they tried to cite as precedent the fact that Tekashi 6ix9ine, you know, that snitch bastard, apparently actually got an early release from prison because of all this.
Yeah, we heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is evil.
No. Just no. Just no.
Just, McFarland, why? You're not that special. Fuck you. Anyway, yeah, that's basically about it for the news. So now to wrap things up, we have the new album releases for the week of April 24th, 2020. We have the newest album from metal act Trivium with What the Dead Men Say, the newest project from Catatonia with City Burials, the newest album from thrash metal act Warbringer with Weapons of Tomorrow, the newest album from metal act Ulcerate with Stare Into Death and Be Still, the newest project from Dance Gavin Dance with Afterburner. We have Quale Chris and Chris Keys with Innocent Country 2. Supposedly there's a new Willie Nelson project, First Rose of Spring. And AWOL Nation are dropping a new album, Angel Miners and the Lightning Riders. So now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can we find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where... I'm just trying to live every day without being too affected by the stupidity and, yeah. Sail!
Yeah. Mark, what about you?
As usual on Twitter, Mitch Heaven Media, where I'm just trying to live, period. And on my site, mindhaven1.wordpress.com, where I ain't been doing much shit lately. What do you expect? Sometimes I'm not. Yeah, I don't feel like I'm doing shit this well, at least this week.
Sale.
Yeah, that's just the mood. Anyway, as for me, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram at Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. Email me at robert@sewerresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up by the weekend, so subscribe, hit the bell tap so you're notified when stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Sewerreso. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, SuperResolution.com, so you can find this podcast, Podcast O&A, written articles, all that good stuff. Be sure to jump in on our Discord server so you can shitpost the best COVID-19 memes. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you for joining us this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual nonsense. And until then, fuck you, Karen. Karens fucking suck.
Sale.